All right, thank you. You may be seated. So good to see all of you here this morning in your bright, smiling faces. Are you glad to be here today?
Yes.
All right, turn to your neighbor, say, I'm glad to be here. How about you?
I'm glad to be here. How about you?
Now give them a big high five. If you're married to them, give them a kiss. You got to stop. All right, it is good to be here, and we're so grateful for the privilege of diving into God's Word. So if you would get your Bibles out, turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. As you're turning there, I have just a couple of quick announcements for you. First of all, at 7 o'clock this Wednesday night, right here in this room, I believe, or one of the rooms in this building, it'll be in this building. There's going to be a meeting. We've started a senior adult ministry outreach, trying to take care of some of our senior adults, and we've got some activities that are going to be coming up for that area. And if you are interested in helping with that, we need help. Sometimes we need some folks that'll go by and help take care of a need, maybe give somebody a ride, different things that come up. If you're interested in being any part of that and you would like to come learn more about that, then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock right here. It won't be long, but we're just trying to get some names together, see what some people can help with and who wants to be a part of that. So that's this week. Also coming up on May the 18th, which is senior graduation for high school, a different senior group. That's coming up. We're going to recognize our seniors on that Sunday morning. If you have a senior or know of a senior that would like to be a part of that, we need their information. If you haven't been contacted, you can contact us and let us know who they are, and we will get all the information to them. And also, if you have kids that are in the younger age, kids zone age, Kids Zone on Wednesday nights has stopped now for the summer. There's going to be a lot of activities through the summer for those kids at different times. Here's the best way you can figure all of that out. If you will scan the QR code on that communication card in the seat back that's in front of you, go to current events. It's the first thing that pops up. And there is a whole list. We got a lot of things coming up this summer that you may want to be a part of. I know there's some women's events going on and different things. So scan that. That's the easiest way every week to keep up with everything that is going on. All right, got that?
Got it.
All right, good. All right, so 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We started a series of messages last week that we're talking about. Now what? Now what? Life after the resurrection. Christ has risen from the grave. Aren't we grateful for that? But the question comes, what now? What does that mean for us today? How does that change our lives today over 2,000 years later? The event that took place back then. And the reality is, because Christ rose from the dead, because he died for our sins, because he took our place, but now he lives again. It changes things for us even today. But the question is, how does it change? How are things different? And that's what we're looking at over these next few weeks. And the title of today's message is, what if death isn't the end? What if death isn't the end? Now, here's the thing that I know. Death is something that we don't like to think about. And we don't like to talk about. And even as I was preparing this week for this message, it's been a struggle for me because it's just something that we just don't want to deal with, right? It's kind of that negative part of everything. We don't want to talk about death. We don't want to look at it. And just if we can keep it away from us, that's the best thing to happen. But the reality is that death is a part of life. As a matter of fact, if you live long enough, you'll eventually die. Unless the rapture happens first, and that's what I'm counting on. I'm hoping for that. I'm praying for that. But the reality is, if we live long enough, we will eventually die. So it's a subject that we need to be aware of, we need to talk about, and we need to know what happens when we die. There's a story, it's gone around for many years, of two kids that were in a small Texas town. The cemetery in the town had a big pecan tree. And they would go out there and they would gather up pecans. And one day they went and they gathered up a big old bucket of pecans and they sat down underneath this shade tree and they started dividing them out. One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me. Well, there was another young boy that day that just happened to be riding his bicycle by on the outside of the fence of this cemetery, and he heard what was going on. And it got his attention, and he stopped. He couldn't see anybody, but he stopped, and he was listening, and he kept hearing, "One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me." Well, he started to panic a little bit, and he took off on his bicycle. He had to go find somebody so he could tell him what was going on. He doesn't go very far, and he sees a man that's walking down the street. He's got his cane, and he's walking along. He said, "Sir, you got to come to the cemetery with me." He said, "God and the devil are separating the souls." And the old man looks at him, and he said, "Boy, you don't know what you're talking about." But the boy was so adamant, he's finally like, "Okay, I'll go with you." And so he gets there, and sure enough, the old man hears him saying, "One for you, one for me, one for you, one for me." Well, while these boys were counting these, a few of the pecans had rolled out of the bucket and they rolled down by the fence. And the old man looks at the other boy. He said, "Let's peek through and see if we can get a glimpse of God." And so they're sitting there peeking through the fence and they can't see anything going on. And one little boy said, "All right, that's all that's in the bucket. Now let's go get the two nuts by the fence." And the story is that the old man that was walking on the cane was so far ahead of that other boy on his bicycle, it took him three blocks to catch up with him. So it's a funny story, but the reality is, even though it's something we don't like to talk about, it's something we don't like to discuss, it does bring up our curiosity of what happens when we die. What happens when our life on this earth is over? And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul is addressing this with the church at Corinth. All through the 15th chapter, he's talking to them about their curiosity. They wondered how a resurrection could actually happen. How will our bodies look like after the resurrection? How does all this take place? And so Paul takes the first part of the chapter, and he's really addressing that. He's talking about it. And then he gets into the verses that we're going to look at in just a moment, we're going to begin in verse 50. And he kind of summarizes it here for us, and that's where we're going to dive into. But before we do, I want to remind you, we'll look at this passage in just a moment in John chapter 11. But it's in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, where Jesus says that "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies." Now, that's some powerful words that Jesus says. Now, if those words would have come from anybody else, I would say you don't have to worry about those words. Don't believe them because they're not true. But the one who spoke those words, the one who said that "I am the resurrection and the life," is the one who truly is the resurrection and the life, because he's the one that died, went into the grave, and rose again. And so he has the authority to speak those words. And so we need to pay attention to those words. And that's where Paul comes in, and he's addressing this so that we do not have to face death with fear. We can face death with understanding. And that's what he wanted for the people. He wrote the words in this passage to give them hope and to give them assurance. So look with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And as I said, we're going to begin in verse 50. He says, "What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret." I love that. Don't you love it when somebody goes, "Hey, I've got a secret. Let me reveal this secret to you." What do? We tune in. And if they tell us this is a secret you can't tell with anybody else, we really listen at that point, right? Well, Paul says, let me share this secret. I want you to understand this wonderful secret that we will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Listen to this. I love this. "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, be immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless or in vain. Father, I thank you today for your word. Your word that comforts, your word that challenges and strengthens. God, I pray that as we go through this time today that we would just listen to you. We would hear what you would have to say to each one of us as we go through this time together. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Again, Paul wrote these words in this passage to give hope and assurance to believers about what happens after death. And to emphasize the victory that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I must admit, there's many funeral services where we use this passage, and it's at these funeral services. You know, people are sad. People are grieving. Death is not an easy thing for us to go through when we have to put a loved one in the ground. It's just not easy. That's a reality. But when you take this passage and you look at it, at what Paul is saying, he's saying we have victory over death. We have victory over the grave because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that word victory, that's kind of like an exciting word, right? What does victory mean? Well, victory means that we have won. We are victorious, that we have accomplished what needs to be accomplished. And here's the thing, we didn't accomplish it, but Christ has accomplished it for us. And by the way, he can do a better job at that than we can do for ourselves, right? We could have messed this all up. But Christ came and he took care of it for us in its victory. So again, here's why he wrote it. They were wondering, what kind of body will we have? How can the dead be raised? And he answers that. And so he wants us to know you can face death without fear. You can face death without fear. Point number one that I want you to see is that you can face death without fear, but with peace. Peace that only God can give us. Peace. And this isn't just theology, but it's encouragement. Paul wanted to lift their eyes to the hope that they have through Jesus Christ and what the resurrection now means because he came out of the grave. And this is a joyful anthem of resurrection victory. And so when we think about that, because of the resurrection, we can face death not with fear, but with peace. Or not with panic, but with peace. We can face fear with, or face death with hope. Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? In our world, that when we think about death, where does the hope come from? Well, we know that the hope comes through Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. We know that. But the question gets a little bit deeper than that. Because if we don't truly understand this, then that hope is just a surface level hope. That peace is just a surface level peace. And then when we find ourselves facing an ultimate end, then fear has a way of creeping in. But we don't have to face death with fear. Notice what he says in verse 50. He says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Here's the reality for us. And he's not sugarcoating anything. That these bodies that we have are not going to last forever. These bodies are perishable. And because they are perishable, they cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. These perishable bodies are not what's going to last forever. The older I get, I am so grateful for that, aren't you? Man, I do not want these aches and pains and everything that goes along with life because, you know, I didn't take care of my body like I should have when I was younger. I don't want that to last forever. I want a new body. And that's what he's saying. This isn't going to last forever. This body that we have is not going to make it to heaven. And so, again, not sugarcoating it, but he acknowledges here the reality of death. The body we are living in, it doesn't last forever. It cannot enter into the eternal heavenly realm. Now, this could bring up other questions. Well, what does the body in heaven look like? Here's what I don't know. I can't answer that for you. But I know that it is a new body. It is a body that will last forever. a body that will never grow old, a body that never knows disease or sickness or any of the other things that faces in this life. But without the resurrection, we don't have that promise. Without the resurrection of Christ, then death does feel like the end. Death is the unknown. Death is a threat. But because Jesus rose from the grave, death is no longer the end of the story. It is simply a turning of the page. I want you to think about it this way. Let's picture that there was a massive door up here. And this door has a sign on it that says, "Death only. Enter this way." Now that pretty depressing door. Who wants to walk through that door? But the reality is many people walked through that door, but they all walked through in one direction. But there was one man who walked through that door that said "this way only," and then 3 days later walked right back out that door the opposite way, conquering death, hell, and the grave. And he did that for us, and we could have hope in our lives. So we don't have to face death with fear because we know that Christ conquered death. And if Christ conquered death and we are in Christ, then we have that hope that we will conquer death as well. This means that we don't have to walk through life afraid of when it's going to end. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, then you don't panic when the doctor gives you the bad news. You don't despair when you lose someone you love. You grieve, absolutely. Yes, we're going to grieve because we're going to miss that person. But we grieve as those who have hope in Jesus Christ. Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where he says, "I do not want you to grieve, brothers and sisters, of those that have died and gone on." We don't grieve as those who have no hope, because our hope is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Christ conquered the grave, we have hope. Listen to this. Jesus in John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What are we afraid of in this world? What is it that we are concerned with? And if death is one of those things, then that can be a pretty depressing thing. So we can live our life without panic, but we can live it with peace. Because of the resurrection, we do not need to be afraid of death. Point number two is because of the resurrection, we have victory over death, not just survival through it. And I would like to change that a little bit and say we have victory over life, not just survival through it. You see, when we have a fear of what is to come, then we end up in just kind of survival mode today. We're not living to our fullest extent because we're afraid of the things that are to come. Now, I don't know about you, but I have some fears in my life. Height is one of them. I can go to different places and I'm okay as long as I'm on solid ground. A couple of years ago, we went on Deacon's Retreat up to Colorado. We're riding four-wheelers and other things up to the top of this incredible mountain. And when you get up to the top, I'm not kidding, it is straight down forever. I mean, there's like a pond down there that's a huge pond, but up here it looks like a little speck. And people are... some people aren't afraid. I won't mention names like Shane. He's here. I can talk about him. So we're standing there on the edge, and I won't mention another name like Landon and I. We're standing way back. We're like, "I'm not getting close to that edge. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what could happen if I fall off that edge." And Shane walks up to this peak, and all of a sudden, he just jumps. I was like, "Where'd he go?" Now, he stood right up because there was a little ledge there that I couldn't see from where I was. But my heart sank. I thought, he ended it all right there. He just thought he was going to land in the pond or something. Now, he had no fear. I mean, some people are sitting down. Others walk over to even a higher spot up there, and they're just looking over the edge. And I'm like, nope. I have a fear of heights. Now, I want to say this. That is a good fear, right? Some fears are good. I mean, I'm not going to be stupid and walk over. I trip walking on flat ground. So I'm not going to walk to the edge of a mountain with rocks and everything and trip and fall over. So some fears are okay. They're healthy fears is what we'd call them. You know, you just have some of those. But when it comes to death, when it comes to the end of the life, that's not a healthy fear when we know who we are in Christ. If we don't know who we are in Christ, that's a healthy fear, to fear what is to come. And so that's why this passage is here. That's why we look at it so we know what is going on. Notice what he says again in Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 54. He says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's all been swallowed up because of what Christ did for us. Paul doesn't say that death has been avoided. He said death has been defeated. And there is a difference. Big difference. We're not just hanging on, hoping that we are going to survive. We're not just limping across some spiritual finish line because Jesus rose. We just don't make it past death. We make it through it because of Christ. We are conquerors through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just come to make death a little more manageable. He came to obliterate its power. He removed the sting from it. What some would see death as an enemy, he says there is no enemy because now there is no sting. It's like somebody brings in a poisonous snake and they put it right there in front of you. Now, that's another fear. There's only one good snake in my book, and it's one that's not able to move. We'll just say it like that, okay? I don't care if it's got a rattle on the end of it or beady. I don't care what it's got. I just don't do them. But somebody brings one in that you know is poisonous. It's a dangerous snake. And so it brings a healthy fear to you, right? You're like, I don't want to be close to that because if it bites me, I'm going to be in trouble. But then all of a sudden, they tell you that that snake has no fangs anymore. We've removed the fangs. It cannot bite you and be venomous to you. It's not a problem to you. You look at it, you're probably still apprehensive about it, right? But now the fear of it, the sting of it is gone. So you don't have to worry about if it does bite you that it's going to be a problem for you. And that's what he's saying here. The power of sin has caused death, brought death into the world. And there's a sting that goes with that death. But that sting has been removed because Christ conquered the grave. And now when we are in him, we don't have to fear that. So death, where is your sting? Because our victory is in the one who took the sting out of death. When we attend the funeral service of a fellow believer or someone close to us that we know that knows Christ, we grieve, but again, not as those who have no hope, and we celebrate because they have turned the page and now they're in their heavenly home, the home that we are going to be in forever. Let me remind you, we remind people of this all the time. This world is not our home, right? We weren't made to be here forever. Where's our home as believers? Our home is in heaven. And when we die, we know that we have that hope of a place that's much better than this. A place where we will be in God's presence forever and ever as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The sting of death has been removed. Death has no victory over us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, he says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. Through who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, John the 14th chapter, you know, he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas looks at him and he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how in the world can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, another bold statement by Jesus Christ. How can he make such a bold statement? He backed that statement up when he walked out of that tomb over 2,000 years ago. And he says, because of that, because of the hope that you have in me, you don't have to fear what is to come. There's a promise that he gives us, and there's a hope that we have. And we do not have to fear what is to come. And then point number three, because of the resurrection, we can now choose to live. Kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? We can now choose to live. I don't know about you, but for me, when I was born, I don't know that that was my choice. I just Became alive, right? But now, through Christ, things change, and we choose to live. We don't choose just to exist, as I mentioned a while ago. Everything changes because of the resurrection, and now we have the choice whether we're going to live or whether we're just going to survive in life. And I believe this, even after we come to know Christ, if we don't understand this, there's a lot of Christians that are still just surviving and not choosing to live in Christ because of the fears of the unknown or because of different things. We don't understand really who we are in Christ. And again, Paul wants to address this with us, to know who we are in Christ. But I want you to do this. Turn over to John chapter 11 and verses 25 and 26 that we will look at in just a moment. But in John chapter 11, here's the story of what is going on. Jesus has a good friend by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus gets sick. And Jesus is informed that Lazarus is sick. And at the beginning, he's talking about this. And he says that Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. And so Jesus doesn't immediately make his way to go and see his friend Lazarus. Well, word gets back to Jesus and the disciples that Lazarus has died. And so Jesus now makes his way to see his sisters, to see the people that are there, to grieve as well. And so when Jesus gets there, Martha comes out to Jesus, and Jesus tells her in these words, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" And the reason he tells her that is because when she runs out and greets him, she says, "If you would have been here, if you would have only been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." And Jesus says, you need to understand this. You need to understand what is going on here. He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even after dying, they're going to live." Do you believe this? Now, when he asked her this question, this wasn't some kind of theological test for her, because if we were in Sunday school today and I made that statement, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, anyone who lives in him, even though they die, they will live. Hold that thought. Sorry. That's not supposed to happen, but it rings in my ears. So I had to stop that. Anyway, so he's saying that, and if I brought that up in a Sunday school class, we would all know the church answer, right? Do you believe that? No, you got to know the answer, right? Do you believe that? Yes. So we understand that. We know that we should believe that, but he's asking her this question, do you believe this? And it's a question that all of us have to answer. And again, it goes deep into the heart. We believe that what you're saying, Jesus, is true. But do we really believe it? We believe what Jesus tells us, that we know that's how we should live and that's the way we should be in our lives. But no, getting down to the heart of the matter, do we really, really believe it? Is it truth that we believe in our life? And so Jesus is pointing this out to her. And he's like, "Martha, do you believe this? Do you understand this?" And the question then comes to us, do we believe it? Because it's when we get it in our heart, when we truly believe it, and that's when we can truly start to live. You see, Jesus said, "I came to give you life and to give it to you what? More abundantly." What does that abundant life mean? That means we're living with hope. We're living with peace. We're living with a joy that the world does not have, because the world doesn't get it. They just don't know until they receive it, until God shows it to us. So we need to understand what Jesus is saying here, that the resurrection is not some future event. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." That means that I am right now. It's not some future event. But the reality is the resurrection is a person. In his name is Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. And when we place our faith and trust in him, When we understand this, then we can truly begin to live. But it's a choice that we make. So Jesus is saying, you have heard the truth, but now what do you do with the truth? You've heard the truth, but do you really believe the truth? And what we need to understand is that Jesus, the resurrection and the life, is our source of hope, our source of joy, our source of strength, our source of everything that we have in this life. We can talk about peace over panic. We can celebrate victory over death. But none of that really matters until we choose to place our faith, our hope, and our trust totally in the one who is the resurrection and the life, the one who gives us that hope. And so now it's a choice that we have to make in our lives. And that choice begins coming to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And hopefully we've all done that, but there may be someone here that hasn't. That's where it begins, recognizing that Jesus truly is the one and only Son of God that died on the cross in our place, but he rose again 3 days later. He lives. He truly is the resurrection and the life, and he's the one that I need to be in control of my life. And we give our lives to him. But it doesn't stop right there. Just like it doesn't end on the day of the resurrection when Christ came out of the tomb and we look at it and go, okay, great, everything's good. Now we go back to living like we always lived, because the resurrection changes everything. And when Christ becomes the Lord and Savior of our life, that changes everything. And everything becomes different. And now we choose that life that only comes from him. Choosing to follow him and let him be in charge of everything that we have. So the question comes, same as it did to Martha, is do you believe this? Not just do you believe in Jesus, but have you placed your faith and trust in him? And then do we believe it every day of our life? Do we trust him in every area of our life? Listen, today you may have walked in and carrying fear about the unknown. Maybe you've been avoiding that topic of death. We don't like talking about it. Maybe you tried not to think about it deeply. But Jesus invites you to bring all your fears to him, to bring all that concerns you to him. You don't have to leave here wondering where you stand. The Bible tells us that all these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a guess. It's that we may know. It's not some wishful thinking that maybe if I live right, maybe if I do these things right, maybe if everything just falls together right, that someday, maybe God will let me into heaven. That's not the way that it works. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. And that is placing your faith and trust in him. And when we've done that, then we know that we have that eternal life. And that brings us hope. And then we can live every day without fear, without panic. Live safely. Don't do stupid things. But live knowing that we have our hope in Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. We talked about that this last week, and I want to bring it up again. God promises. And God has promised us life through Jesus Christ. Not life just here, but life for eternity. And by the way, that life that he promises, that eternal life, it doesn't begin when we die. It begins when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's when our eternal life, we know that we're going to be with him forever. And that should give us comfort, peace, and hope. And that's the promises that we see through the Bible. But we have an enemy that wants to deny those promises. He wants us to believe that this is all that there is. That this is the best that it gets. That there's not life beyond this. He wants us to believe that we'll never be good enough to make it to heaven. And by the way, that is a truth. We'll never be good enough to make it to heaven. You can't live good enough. But for what Christ did for us and through him, we will make it to heaven if we accept him as our Savior. He wants to bring in these lies, these false beliefs that can keep us from living the joy that we should have, the peace that we have each and every day in our life. But then it comes down to our decision. What will we do with what we know? What will we do with what we have? Again, remembering that we're just passing through. Another story of a pastor that he was a preacher in this small town church, and right outside this church was the town cemetery. The only problem was that the parking lot for the church was on the opposite side of the cemetery. So every Sunday, people would have to get out of their cars and they would have to walk through the cemetery to get inside the church. And he noticed they'd be coming in, their heads are down. It's kind of depressing walking through the cemetery. So he decided that he was going to make a sign that he would put in the parking lot. As you come into the gate from the parking lot into the cemetery, it says, "Don't worry, we're just passing through." And it changed everything as people came in the doors of the church. They realized that we don't have to worry about the cemeteries. We don't have to worry about the problems of this world. We're just passing through. And our hope is not in anything that this world has to offer. It is in Jesus Christ and what He offers. And Jesus Christ offers eternal life for all who would believe in Him. And when you accept Him, we are just passing through. So let me ask you these questions. If death isn't the end, and by the way, it's not. If death isn't the end, how does that change your life today? And that's a personal question, for you. How does that change your life today? If Jesus has already conquered the grave, which He has, what is it that you are afraid of? And if eternity is real, which it is, how does that make a difference in how you're living your life today? Are you building it for today? And today only? Or are you living your life and building for eternity? We can live today with joy. We can live today with peace. We can live today with purpose because Christ conquered the grave. It's not the end, my friend. It is the beginning. And when we place our faith and trust in Him, that's where our hope is. That's where our joy is. So, when we go out into the world, people need to see that hope and joy. Because I promise you, there's a lot of people that think this is it. Oh, there's so much more to come. So much more, better than anything that we will see in this world. Jesus is alive, and because He lives, we live as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, I thank You for Your word. God, I thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank You for the promises that we have. And God, I know that there's many distractions, many things, and we have an enemy that wants us to believe different things. But Father, today I just pray that You would help each one of us to see Your truth, to know Your hope, to know Your peace, to know Your joy. God, thank You. Thank You for who we are in You. God, I pray for every believer here that we would understand this today. We would really get a hold of this today. And God, knowing that when we get this part, that it will change everything in our life. God, I pray for those here that may not know You as their Lord and Savior, that right now You would just draw them close to Yourself. Your Spirit would speak to their hearts. And today they would say, "I want that hope." And they would give their lives to You today. God, thank You. Thank You for all that You do for us. Thank You for giving us Your Son when we didn't deserve it. And thank You that it is through Him, not our good works, not anything that we could do, but through Him and Him alone that we can have true life here on this earth, but knowing that we have everlasting life in Your presence. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.